Tommy waits for the 3-2. Here it is. A swing and a high fly ball left center field. He's going to join the 500 club. Eyes on the run. He's at the track. He's at the fence. Leaps. Makes the catch.
Yes.
He took away a home run. Wow. What a play. Ramirez has it. Throws. Burley picks a perfect game. People going crazy here at U.S. Cellular. He's mobbed by his teammates. A perfecto.
White Sox. White Sox.
White Sox Weekly, the official weekly talk show covering all things White Sox baseball. The latest news and views from players, coaches, and direct from the front office. White Sox Weekly on the proud new home for Chicago White Sox baseball, 89 WLS.
Welcome to White Sox Weekly here on WLS AM 890. Brian Bush with you. We have a jam-packed hour to recap what has been a pretty interesting week. There's not a whole lot on the field that has been of note. There, of course, are rumors and all that stuff. But off the field, and more importantly, behind the mic, well, there have been a lot of changes from that standpoint, one of whom is our first guest here on White Sox Weekly. Jason Benetti on Wednesday was named the new home television play-by-play broadcaster for the White Sox. And Jason, first off, congratulations. What has the response been since the announcement?
First of all, thanks for having me, Brian. And second of all, the response has been really positive and really passionate very quickly, and I appreciate that. I always have about Sox fans. And I actually, when it got announced, I woke up in the middle of the night and just kind of checked my phone, and I had like 300 new followers that were Sox fans. And I was like, man, not only are Sox fans passionate, but they don't sleep. It was pretty interesting to see happen.
Well, you do have to realize that most of the big moves have happened on Wednesday for the White Sox this year, so they probably had anticipated that something was going to happen.
You know, I appreciate their historical understanding of that. I mean, I guess they just set their alarms and said something's going down at 2 in the morning.
White Sox all-nighter, no doubt. You've been quoted that it hasn't felt real yet. Has it gotten to that point? And will it ever truly get to that point where you really feel like this is real life?
So I've been thinking about exactly what this all means and where it's going to go and how it's going to feel. And I still don't know. I mean, I was thinking, you know, once I get to spring training, it'll feel real. But I've been to spring training before, and once I call a spring training game, that'll feel real. But, you know, I've talked to Steve Stone on the air, and I've talked to him in person. That's all normal too. And then when I sit down at U.S. Cellular Field for that first game, it's just I don't know what feelings are going to come upon me. So that's kind of what I mean by it, is that it's not a feeling that I've ever experienced or thought I would experience. So I know it still hasn't really come over me.
Jason Benetti, new TV voice of the White Sox for home games, joining us on White Sox Weekly. For those who have not heard you on the air, describe yourself as a play-by-play broadcaster. What can they anticipate when they hear you that first game?
You know, it's such a tough question, because I've always subscribed to the band Kansas's philosophy. If I claim to be a wise man, that surely means that I don't know. The thing that I like to do is bring as much in as possible. So if something strikes me or Steve as interesting throughout the course of a week or the course of a day or whatever news item it might be, you know, I tend to think that might come in. I think by analogy is a great way to kind of teach advanced statistics and things like that. So to me, my style is I like to have a good time. I like to have fun. And I like to be able to change direction if we need to change direction pretty quickly. But the other thing is, it's my job to help Steve. Not that he needs any help. He's a top three baseball analyst in the country for sure, if not the best. And my job, I guess, is to just cultivate what he has in his mind and help steer that.
Steve Stone was quoted, and he'll join us later to probably retract this statement. I'm just kidding, Jason. But he said that the White Sox hit a home run with you. You said you have a relationship with him. Will it take some time to get acclimated on the air, even though you do have that relationship? Or how beneficial is that to have, to know Steve a little bit, to have talked with him during this process, and now to go into a situation where you'll be on the air with him for almost 80 games?
You know, so the neat thing is we sat down for dinner, and after 2-3 minutes, I think he'll say the same thing. We both just felt really at ease with our senses of humor and our understanding of the game and our interests otherwise as well. I don't know. I just felt really comfortable with him off the top, and maybe that's an absolute credit to him and how he makes people feel when they sit down and chat with him. But I do think we already have a rapport, and that doesn't necessarily always happen. I think the world of him and his mind and where it can go, and I think we'll be off and running pretty quickly.
The man you will be helping to replace on the home games is Hawk Harrelson, and you know he's been such a legend for this organization over the years. Incredible human being. He's a great broadcaster, great baseball mind. And people always wonder, okay, well, can you replace a quote unquote legend? I know not everybody likes Hawk, but he has such a following in Chicago. Have you at all pondered that reality that you're kind of stepping in for Hawk, and does that faze you at all?
He made it really easy for me. I mean, he really did. We chatted on the phone last week, and I know it's been publicized before, but he said to be myself, and he didn't have to say that. He could have said a lot of other things and just kind of been him and I'm me without that not line drawn, but without that marker to say, hey, I believe in what you do. The Sox believe in what you do. Go do you, and I'll do what I do, and he'll do what he does. And I couldn't be more grateful for him to say that. But there's no replacing somebody like that. And just in terms of what he does, who he is, how many stories he's got. And I mean, his career, I mean, he's a big time golfer, and he was a great player, and he was a general manager. And I mean, the litany and variety of things that he's done, he will always be him, and people will always, I mean, for hundreds of years, I presume people will be saying you can put it on the board. I mean, I did as a kid. So it's simply that I'm me and he's him, and boy, are millions of people grateful that he's him.
Jason Benetti, new White Sox broadcaster, joining us on White Sox Weekly. You mentioned that you know you grew up in the Chicago area, you watched White Sox games, you've watched Hawk, and you've watched this team for quite some time. What childhood memories, when you think back of your time as a White Sox fan growing up, what sticks out?
You know, the mid-90s, early to mid-90s teams are really my frame of reference. Frank Thomas, Robin Ventura, Ozzy, Ray Durham a little bit later, Lance Johnson, then Carlos Lee. I mean, those, and that's not to say anything about the pitching staffs of Blackjack and Wilson Alvarez and Jason Barre and Alex Hernandez and a little bit earlier than me, Bobby Thigpen. And so those are really the teams that stand out to me. And, you know, I always went to the game and, you know, Nancy Faust was there playing the organ, and I'd always sit down and she'd play a song with an opposing batter coming up and be like, what is she playing? Why is she playing this? So that's one of the enduring memories for me off the field, just going to the ballpark and like the sounds and the sights and everything. That's what's hit me at least recently, is just kind of the feeling of the ballpark and the shower out there in the outfield. And it's a whole life's worth of memories that are coming back piece by piece.
So then you would have been, what, late college in 2005 for the World Championship?
I had just graduated in May, and a friend of mine actually had taken a TV news job in Traverse City, Michigan, and I was visiting him at the time, and so I watched the final game of that World Series in lovely Traverse City, Michigan.
I'm sure it felt just like if you would have been at the ballpark.
Exactly. Yeah, it was totally the same, but completely different.
Jason Benetti, our guest here on White Sox Weekly. Well, since you graduated from Syracuse, you've done a lot in broadcasting. There's some high-profile things. You've worked with ESPN, Westwood One, some pay-your-dues types of spots as well. When did an opportunity like this seem plausible to you?
It still hasn't. I mean, it's wild to me. But, you know, I think, you know, the last couple years with some of the games that I've done. And Westwood One was really, really good to me with types of games. I mean, my first football game last year was for them was LSU-Wisconsin, which was just a huge game. I did the Florida State football game when Jameis Winston was suspended. Sean McGuire played. They won an overtime against Clemson. I saw a lot of big teams last year with them. And you know, ESPN's been so good to me. And it, to be honest, you know, Thursday, the day after this got announced, and actually the night it got announced, I had, you know, seen my phone combust in my pocket. And then I finally just got to turn it off for about an hour and a half in East Lansing to have dinner with Jim Calhoun, you know, who I've done 10 games with. And when you're sitting next to a guy who's won 3 national championships in basketball, who appreciates your work and has been really good to me, those are the moments where you say, like, maybe, yeah, I do belong doing games like this. And that's not to say I didn't before, but to be around somebody like that and learn from somebody like that, you just can't help but get better. And that's the cool thing about being in a booth with Steve Stone and you know, sharing the schedule with Hawk, is they have so many things to educate me on that I can't help but get better. And every day you get better, I think, is an increase of the probability that something really cool happens for you.
One of the other things you did between the time of graduation and now, you went to law school at Wake Forest. What was the motivation there? And if broadcasting had not worked out, did you want to be a lawyer? I know you're a very intelligent person, but what was the motivation there?
Well, you don't know that for a fact, but I appreciate it. I took the LSAT when I graduated from college because I kind of liked logic games and things like that. And I did okay on the LSAT. I did well enough that I could get into a school that I thought might be able to work with me. So actually, when I applied to Wake Forest Law School, I sent them my application and a resume and a CD of some of my work to let them know that I was going to kind of be a non-traditional student. And the idea was never to litigate, right? And what's funny is the guy I'm working with today on Kansas State and Iowa State is an attorney for Exxon, and he said to me at shoot around this morning, he said, by the end of the season, I'm going to convince you to take the bar. And I said, good luck with that. The education for me has been way more important than the actual vocation of law, because when you're telling a jury about a case, right, and you want them to take your theory of the case back into that room, that is not far off at all from what we do as announcers, right? Like we pitch something to people in a certain way, and we give it context in a certain way, and we layer the facts in a certain way, and we want it to be memorable. So to be honest, you know, you get to know the jury, you get to know your audience as well, and it's all really pretty similar. And what really stands out is everybody in your audience, whomever it is, they're real salt of the earth good people. And the idea is simply just to make them understand what you see the thing as, whether it's a case or a game or whatever it might be. And hopefully they can lock in and focus and enjoy what they're hearing as well.
A couple more questions for new White Sox TV broadcaster Jason Benetti. Let's bring it back to baseball. The White Sox have been very active during this offseason. It'll be a different look than what 2015 White Sox look like. Your impressions on the White Sox moves, the ones you've been able to truly digest?
I'm sorry, say that one more time. I lost you at the very end of that.
Yeah, just your impressions on what the White Sox have done this offseason, where you think they are heading into spring training.
Yeah, I had Todd Frazier's brother, Jeff, in AAA a couple of years ago, and I've not met Todd. But hearing Jeff talk about his brother and the type of family they are and the way Todd and that Tom's River team did what they did in the Little League World Series back in the day, and seeing Todd's numbers, I couldn't be more excited that he's on board. I mean, you look at the way the rotation shapes up, and the front line of the rotation is young and talented and under team control and just very, very exciting. So to me, I mean, you add somebody like Frazier, and you've got a couple catchers who can really call a game. I mean, I've heard that a lot about the two new guys behind the plate, and it's an exciting time, and I do think too it's not over. I mean, I can't speak for Rick Hahn. I've only talked to him for about 15 minutes, but I do know that he's constantly working on upgrading places as well. And I'm very excited to see how this team shakes out when they break camp, because I think there's a real chance of something pretty awesome happening.
I'll get you out on this, Jason. The tweet you sent on Wednesday after it had come out that you were the new TV voice of the White Sox for home games, been on a plane, did I miss anything? Well, how long did that take for you to, was that just instinctual? You turned on your phone, you had all these messages, or was that something you pondered a little bit?
You mean that tweet?
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought it was kind of funny.
It was great.
Things, hey, what's going on in the world? I mean, I always think there's a really nice bit in living under a rock and pretending you're living under a rock. I mean, it's the complete irony of the situation. I guess I'm just kind of uncomfortable with it being about me, and you know, you turn on your phone and you look at Twitter and it's got that little 20 plus thing next to notifications, and I was like, oh. So that's what it looks like when it's more than 20 or more than 8 or more than 6. I mean, it's just strange to have that happen. So yeah, I was sitting, I was thinking about it, and I was like, what do you say at a time like this? And honestly, it comes from advice that Ian Eagle gave me one day. That Steven Strasburg comes through AAA Syracuse, right? And he's pitching, and we're on TV, and there are like 14,000 people. It's a fire hazard in Syracuse. And I had called Ian, who's been really good to me, before the game, and I said, what do I do with this? I mean, I've never been in a situation like this. What do I do? He said, the kid will sell himself. You don't need to oversell somebody like that. So at some point, he throws this ridiculous curveball and strikes somebody out. And I had done a little research before the game, and I said, he's not that good. I mean, Mozart wrote his first symphony at age 8. And so I think there's always humor in underselling something a little bit. So I think that, you know, now that you mention it, that's the genesis of that tweet from the other day.
Well, it was great. It was fantastic. Jason Benetti, new TV voice for the White Sox for home games. His first call will be on April the 9th when Cleveland comes to town. Jason, congratulations again. We appreciate the lengthy visit. Catch him on ESPNU today, 3 o'clock, Iowa State and Kansas State. Congrats. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you. Go Dash, by the way, Brian.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. We'll send you some prospects here to talk about here in a few years. You got it?
Good. Yeah, they were the Warthogs when I came through the Carolina League, so I'm excited about the speed on the field.
There you go. Jason, we appreciate the time. Take care.
Thank you.
All right. Great stuff from Jason Benetti. Yeah, 3 o'clock ESPNU. If you don't want to wait until April 9th, check out the new home TV voice of the White Sox. Lots to get to. Want to hear from you. 312-591-8900. 312-591-8900. Or text us at 68683. This is White Sox Weekly on WLS AM 890.
Passion, pride, tradition. Starting in 2016, the White Sox play here. 89 WLS.
Give us a call, 312-591-8900, 312-591-8900, or text us 68683, White Sox Weekly. Brian Bush with you. That was such a great interview, a great chat. We kept it going. It's only a couple minutes for this segment, but yeah, I know a lot of people are, you know, sometimes turned off about the style of Hawk Harrelson, and you know, he's a guy, he's so unique. I've really never understood the criticism he has gotten nationally, because, you know, especially the big thing with him, you know, who won't talk after a walk-off hit by an opposing team. Well, TV broadcasters are taught to do one of two things. Or they're taught to let the story tell them. They're taught to let the pictures tell the story. And you think about your reaction when there's a frustrating loss for your favorite team, in this case, the White Sox. You really probably have one of two reactions. You either yell some obscenities out, or you just kind of sit there in silence. Well, Hawk really can't do the first one, so why can't he do the second one? He came back for all 162 last year because of the moves. It wasn't a great season for the White Sox, so he decided to kind of cut back. But I really hope that the White Sox get better, not just for the fact that the White Sox would get better, but also to keep him around. As good as Jason Benetti is and will be, and hopefully does all 162 once Hawk decides to step away for good, I hope that Hawk is rejuvenated by a resurgence by this White Sox ball club, and he's really a fun guy to watch call the game. When we get back, we'll have some more. We'll break down Tim Anderson a little bit, and you'll hear from Steve Stone, the color analyst, to still talk about Jason Benetti and a whole lot more. This is White Sox Weekly on WLS AM 890.
Tune in to 89 WLS for award-winning news, traffic, and weather updates at the top and bottom of every hour, every day. 89 WLS.
Kind of the broadcaster's version of White Sox Weekly here today. Had Jason Benetti, new TV voice for the home games for the Sox earlier. Steve Stone, one of the best analysts in the game, will join us in our next segment. Hope you can join the program as well. 312-591-8900, 312-591-8900, or you can text us 68683. We'll get into a signing from, well, I guess late last night that kind of affects the White Sox a little bit. Chris Davis getting 7 years and $161 million from the Orioles, the team he had been with for a few years. We'll get into that and kind of why I think it shows you that the White Sox are doing the right thing by kind of slow playing some of these other available free agents. But first off, the news that came out earlier this week, not a White Sox acquisition, but somebody who the White Sox at least had some sort of interest in. Well, he's no longer here. That's Alexei Ramirez, who had been with the Sox. The White Sox did not pick up his options, so he became a free agent. San Diego signs him, and everybody's wondering about Tim Anderson. Is Tim Anderson going to be the guy coming up on opening day in 2016? First off, Tim Anderson deserves absolutely every bit of the accolades that he receives. To me, he's the top prospect in the system. I've seen him. I've seen Carson Fulmer extensively. Love Carson, and he is very much the number two, and then I think there's a drop-off. But Tim Anderson's upside is tremendous. What he has been able to do, even though he hasn't played baseball for all that long, is, well, it's very, very impressive. And what I like about him is he's very businesslike. He's not a big talker. He's a lead-by-example type of person. But he has not totally realized the tools that he possesses. He has a lot of tools, and he has refined them to an extent, but it's not a done deal. A lot of people got really excited about what we all saw from Courtney Hawkins during the spring training period. And you know, there were even some whispers, "Hey, well, maybe he can make a big jump." Not for opening day, because he had been in high A for 2 years, but at some point soon. Then he went to Double-A and still had some of the same struggles that he had had during the early portion of his minor league career. Tim Anderson could go and be tremendous in spring training. I still don't think he's ready for an opening day big league assignment. I think you need to get him in Triple-A. You need to have him refine some things defensively in particular. And you can have Tyler Saladino and Carlos Sanchez man that shortstop spot. There's no doubt. Those two can handle it. Tim Anderson will be up in 2016 at some point. But I do think that it was smart for the Sox to move on from Alexei Ramirez. It was time for him to go somewhere else. It was time for a youth movement. The White Sox, they could have gone out and got another shortstop. I know Drubal Cabrera was throwing out a few other names. But Tim Anderson will be that long-term answer at shortstop. You can fill the gap with Saladino and Sanchez until then. I don't think there's any question about that. But TA is going to be really, really good. But you can't rush him. It's easy, especially when the White Sox have dealt some of these prospects and they've got kind of a 1-2 punch of Fulmer and Anderson. People are asking, will Carson Fulmer make it to the big leagues this year? Carlos Rodon did. Rodon and Fulmer are a little bit different. They're a little bit separated when it comes to where they are heading into their first professional season. But I do like where both those guys are at. The fact that the White Sox have improved so much while keeping those two, pretty darn impressive. But for Tim Anderson, the Alexei Ramirez signing with San Diego does not mean TA is going to be the guy moving forward at shortstop. He'll be there eventually, but Saladino and Sanchez can take over for at least this season, and then you can have Anderson in 2017. 312-591-8900, the phone number. Steve Stone, White Sox TV analyst, will join us to talk about his new broadcast partner and Jason Benetti and break down the Sox offseason, a very busy one. This is White Sox Weekly on WLS AM 890.
in 2016. White Sox baseball. Experience it here. 89 WLS.
Welcome back into White Sox Weekly on WLS AM 890. Brian Bush with you as we've had a pretty busy week for the White Sox. We chatted with Jason Benetti earlier in the program, and now we'll have a great conversation with his partner for the home games coming up in 2016, Steve Stone. We appreciate you joining us, Steve. How's the offseason treating you?
It's going nicely. You get to this point of year where Sox Fest is right around the corner, and seemingly you slide right into opening day in Oakland. So I think we're getting to the point where, and most of the baseball people who have lived this schedule for many years, get ready to go. Start to gear up at this point, and your body tells you that it's baseball time again.
What do you do at this point of the offseason to start to prepare for 2016?
I'm not sure exactly if you're doing a whole lot to prepare, but what you certainly are doing is paying attention to where the free agents have gone, knowing that the Orioles got Chris Davis back, and unfortunately, the White Sox pursuit of a left-handed difference maker has not come to fruition quite yet. But you keep a close eye on especially the teams in your division and who goes where. And now I think everybody associated with Major League Baseball, especially those of us who work for one specific team, are all wondering where Cespedes is going to go. And those whose teams don't get him would love to see him sign in a different division than they happen to inhabit. So wherever he does go, if it's not with the White Sox, then you just as soon see him out of the American League Central so you don't have to deal with him 18 or 19 times a year.
Based on those moves that you've tracked during the offseason, Steve, size up the White Sox within the American League Central. Of course, you have Kansas City defending world champions. There's a lot of talent in Detroit, Cleveland, and Minnesota. Where do the White Sox, as the rosters are constructed right now, stand in your eyes?
Well, I think the White Sox have to show the division after a couple of pretty disappointing years that they are indeed improved. Now, certainly, with Fraser and Lowry, I think that they took a couple of steps forward. You have to think that Eric Johnson's going to be a bit better after having a little experience and gaining some confidence last year. I love the fact that Carlos Rodon is going to be there for a full season. There's no doubt in my mind that he is not only a top-of-the-rotation left-handed starter, but he's going to be one of the more dominant starters in all of baseball. The fact that he fell to number three in the draft and that the White Sox were able to get him with that third pick, to me, is still astounding. How Houston decided to take a high school pitcher, especially one with a questionable arm, and pass up Rodon, I think, is amazing, but it was to the Sox benefit. So the top part of the rotation looks exceptionally strong. Anytime you can trot Sale, Quintana, and Rodon out there, you're in pretty good shape. You're going to make life miserable for a lot of hitters in the American League. And so I think that part of it is good. I think getting Fraser at third base was a big move. Quite obviously, third base has been a tough place for the Sox to get production over the last few years. I think Fraser is going to put an end to that. And I think defensively, he's also very good. So that was a big addition to the team. Lowry is going to make things a whole lot better and more stable at second base. There's been a revolving door there, as you know, for quite some time. So I think that part of it is good. I would certainly love to see, and I'm sure that Rick Hahn and Kenny Williams share my feelings about this, I would like to see a little more balance in that batting order. And for me, that would mean one left-handed run-producing difference maker. But then again, they're very hard to come by. This is not an easy task. I'm sure that Rick has been scouring just about everybody, talking to most of the people and looking for that particular guy. I do believe because offense was such a problem last year that we probably need to add one more bat to this lineup. If we don't get it, we might have enough pitching to be better than last year. But I think one more bat makes this team a legitimate contender. Quite obviously, Kansas City, even with the losses they've suffered this winter, is still going to be pretty good. Obviously, they're the defending defending champions, and as such, they've been there. They were there 2 years in a row to the World Series. That experience is greatly enhanced. A good young baseball team brought them together, and they're going to be tough to beat. Minnesota is just getting better. I do believe they've got some pitching problems, which is going to restrict them for a while, but they are getting better. Cleveland needs hitters desperately, and they don't have a whole lot of money to spend to get them, so that's fortunate because I think they've got a good pitching staff. Detroit is going to be better than they've been, and I think they've spent a few bucks trying to get there, but right now, just like the White Sox and everybody else in that division, everybody is chasing Kansas City and trying to run them down, and that's not going to be an easy task.
Steve Stone, White Sox TV analyst, joining us on White Sox Weekly. You mentioned the three starters at the top of the rotation, Sale, Rodon, and Quintana. It's tough to match that anywhere else in baseball, really. But how comfortable are you with the four and the five? If it's John Danks or Eric Johnson in those two slots or some of the other depth they have on the pitching side, 4-5, where are you at with that? How comfortable are you with what the White Sox have as it stands?
Well, if you can tell me who 4 and 5 are going to be, I'll tell you I'll be either comfortable or not comfortable. But they really don't have any decisions to make until Monday, April 4th. When that happens and the season starts, then we'll know who is 4 and who is 5. I don't know right now. I'm not sure exactly what the White Sox plans are going to be for those spots. It appears, if you're going to start the season today, that it would be Johnson and Danks, or Danks and Johnson, in no particular order. I'm not so sure that's the way it's going to be as we start the season. If, in fact, they do, if you take a look at most teams 4 and 5, you'll realize that they're not overwhelming. If you can get some innings from those guys and make them both representative pitchers, then usually the rotation is in pretty good shape, assuming you have a good bullpen. I think the bullpen for the Sox probably needs some attention. I think we've got some excellent arms out there. Hopefully a few guys can take a step forward and the bullpen can be a bit better than it was. And I think that's important, especially when you get down to 4 and 5 in the rotation. You probably have that bullpen coming into play a little more often and a little earlier than you would have otherwise. But right now, the 4 and 5 are just exactly where they're slotted. They're at 4 and 5, and I have yet to see one team whose 4 and 5 are overwhelming. So I think the Sox are in pretty decent shape. Let's see how it pans out.
We had Jason Benetti on the program earlier, and during the process and after the announcement, you were quoted as saying that the White Sox hit a home run with Jason as the new TV voice for the Sox for the home games. What is it about Jason that leads you to say that? I mean, we could tell in our conversation with him earlier, but what did you get from your chats with him in advance of this announcement?
I got a few different things, and obviously before the announcement, we had talked a great deal. We got together. We had dinner here in Phoenix. A couple of things that jump out at you immediately are, number one, he's very excited about this particular endeavor. Number two, he's a local product. And anytime you're born and raised in Homewood, Flossmoor, and you're listening to White Sox and Cubs baseball, anytime you do that, I think you get a feeling for the culture of Chicago, just exactly how much baseball and all sports really mean to Chicagoans. I mean, this is a city with a great history, a wonderful tradition. Would the Sox like to have won more? Well, would the Cubs like to have won more? And the answer is yes on both sides of the equation. But I think Jason knows just exactly how passionate the fans are of both teams. And being a White Sox broadcaster is something that's going to be special to him. I was struck by, one, his intelligence, two, his sense of humor, three, his passion for the game of baseball. I know he does them all. I was watching a bit as he was doing Michigan State and Iowa, premier Big Ten basketball game the other night. And he's got a great voice, and he also has a passion for broadcasting, and especially broadcasting baseball. I think that comes out, and I think it's going to come out on a daily basis. And so I do believe that he is in the infancy stages of what is going to be an extraordinary career. He's only 32 years old. And so I know the White Sox spent a great deal of time and talked to a number of people and got a lot of tapes and got a lot of suggestions and had people calling in and writing in and emailing in and doing all of those things to get to their attention guys that they felt would do the job. And I think when you take a look at the time it took for the White Sox to make a decision, quite obviously they were very thorough in their pursuit. They had a pretty good idea of what they wanted and who they had in mind. And I think when you look at all the boxes you would have to check for a guy who has a very good chance of being the future voice of the Chicago White Sox, I think he pretty much qualifies at or near the top in just about every category. And so I think they made a great choice. I mean, this wasn't something that all of a sudden you needed to fill this void and you needed to fill it, in 2 weeks. They took their time and they got their guy. And Jason's going to be around, in my estimation, a long time, long after I'm gone and long after Hawk's gone. Jason is the future, I believe, with the Chicago White Sox. I think that this is this for the Sox is a great hire. I think the people of Chicago who don't know him yet will get to know him very quickly, and I think the sky's the limit for what he can do.
Well, we can't wait to watch you and Jason and, of course, you and Hawk get to work coming up in early April. Steve Stone, analyst for the White Sox on television, we appreciate the visit. Enjoy the rest of the offseason, and spring training is here before you know it.
It is that, and I look forward to it. I think everybody associated with White Sox baseball is going to be a little more excited this year. Look, it's been very disappointing the last couple of years, and I think that everybody, again, associated with White Sox baseball, can't wait for this season to start. I look forward to Sox Fest. I think we're going to introduce some really interesting people to the fans, the least of which will be Jason Benetti. And it's going to be, I think, an exciting year. But bear in mind one thing that never changes. When the team plays better, the broadcasters sound much better. So we're looking forward to a better team. And Hawk, Jason, and I can expand things a little bit for the fandom.
We hope that you sound your best in 2016 then, Steve.
Thank you. Yes, I think we're all looking forward to that.
All righty. Steve Stone, TV analyst for the White Sox here on White Sox Weekly. Get your final thoughts in at 312-591-8900 or via text at 68683. One final break. We'll come back to wrap up White Sox Weekly after this on WLS AM 890.
Tune in to 89 WLS for award-winning news, traffic, and weather updates at the top and bottom of every hour, every day. 89 WLS.
End of White Sox Weekly. Brian Bush with you. And, you know, it's easy to get really excited about the prizes that are out there in free agency or in trades. And you want to talk about one of those numbers that just makes you scratch your head. The Orioles gave Chris Davis $161 million for 7 years. Now listen, Chris Davis has a tremendous amount of pop. I mean, 47 homers last season. He had 53 back in his All-Star season in 2013. But $161 million for a guy who in 2014 hit .196. Rick Hahn, even though not all of the moves that he has made have cashed in as well as he thought they were going to, I think they've all been shrewd decisions. And that's exactly what I think is happening over this Yoenis Cespedes debate during the conversations with Carlos Gonzalez. Listen, the White Sox should not trade for Carlos Gonzalez if the price is still considering that he plays at a regular ballpark and not Coors Field. Yoenis Cespedes should not get a 5 or 6 year deal if you're me. If he comes down to 3, maybe 4, okay, now you're talking. But don't get to the price that the agents are asking for, that the players are asking for. There's a reason why these guys haven't signed. Some of it is draft pick compensation. And I think in Cargo's case, because he plays for Colorado and you got to trade for him, it's a little bit different. But that Chris Davis deal, to me, proves that Rick Hahn is handling this the right way. I'd love to see a Yoenis Cespedes or a Justin Upton or a Carlos Gonzalez in that White Sox lineup, which is already improved. But you have to be able to do so on your own terms. You can't overpay just to get somebody when that could strap you for a long time. I'll tell you this, 2018, 2019, that 161 for Chris Davis is going to look worse and worse. Well, that's it for us this week on White Sox Weekly. Thanks to Steve Stone and Jason Benetti for joining us. Thanks to a bunch of people for giving me and others an opportunity to host this show and allowing it to be successful. Bob Grimm, Bob Bechtel, Ray Garcia, Scott Reifert with the Sox, Peter Bolger, Michael Garay, Don Kleppen with WLS. For a final time, I'm Brian Bush. Be sure to join us next week at noon here on White Sox Weekly on WLS AM 890.
You've been listening to White Sox Weekly, the official weekly talk show covering all things White Sox baseball. Listen every week for White Sox Weekly. And starting in 2016, hear the games here. The proud new home for Chicago White Sox baseball. 89 WLS.